This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Neil Sedaka, Calendar Girl. Good morning. I love that song. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for being with us on this Monday, June the 3rd, as we move right into the summer. In a few minutes, Vance Ginn will join us. He is an economic consultant, and he formerly worked at the Office of Management and Budget. And we're going to talk with Vance about our ungodly $34.6 trillion national debt. Question, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to do anything? Are we just going to let it keep rolling along? And while Anthony Fauci testifies today about the Wuhan virus origin, Hunter Biden starts his trial on federal gun charges. We got a lot going on. You know we're going to be talking about those things. And will Donald Trump now lose his right to vote in Florida now that he's technically a convicted felon? We are going to take a look. Stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, how about this one? The top 10 U.S. cities with the highest rate of deadly car crashes. Let's see if you happen to be living in or near one of those cities. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works. We are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, now that summertime is coming, there's an old wives' tale that says your hair grows quicker when it's hotter outside. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza to get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. They have new hours. They're now open for the summer, Tuesdays through Fridays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, anything to do with the tree, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call Arbor Life today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So we got a lot going on, don't we, Ed? We got Anthony Fauci. I think he's already started to testify this morning, if my eyesight is correct. I think that's going to be very interesting. It turns out that good old Mr. Fauci probably knew a lot more about the lab and virus, I would say the alleged lab leak of the Wuhan virus, than he was willing to talk about. This is the first time he's testifying before a committee like this in almost 2 years. So we'll see what he has to say. Federal public health officials and others who have covered up information about the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic could face prosecution. That's what the chairman of a House special subcommittee investigating the outbreak of the virus has said. So Fauci is up there. This is Representative Brad Wenstrup. He is a Republican from Ohio. He says, we want the Department of Justice to weigh in. Hopefully, they can do something honestly and fairly. He said, but at the same time, we can make criminal referrals. And I think we should. So I've always thought Fauci knew more about this than he was letting on.
Yeah, and I think he, and I did not like this guy from the start. He manipulated Trump when Trump was in office, and he...
Yeah, Trump was kind of stuck with him,
well,
wasn't he?
Yeah, and he kept wavering. You know, Do you need a mask? You don't need a mask. Is it contagious? It's not contagious. And that went on Trump, because the media immediately said Trump is, he can't figure this thing out, and he's wavering back and forth. He was taking advice from Fauci. And finally, when Trump saw that Fauci was a fraud, basically started to back away from him, which then he caught heat for that. And then all the deaths were blamed on Trump because of this.
I've never blamed anybody for talking about whether or not to wear a mask. I honestly thought nobody knew for sure. And I understood that entirely, wearing a mask. Everybody, I think, was trying to do at that time the right thing. So, but I blame Fauci for what he did know about the leak.
Right.
What he did know about gain of function. And you remember that our old buddy Rand Paul was the first of those congressmen, senators, to even bring up the fact that he suspected that Fauci knew a lot more about the lab leak and the cover-up and the gain of function than he was willing to talk about. It turns out, the more that we're hearing, the more that Rand Paul was right on the nail.
Yep. But nobody's going to admit that today.
Yeah. The House Select Subcommittee is the one that's hearing this. Has already recommended a criminal probe of this Dr. Peter, I guess it's Daszak. That's the guy that admitted that there was the email exchange going on outside of the proper channels. They were using personal emails to pass what amounted to government information back and forth, because they didn't want to be caught on a government email saying the things that they were saying. So they went offline, as you might say, with emails to start talking about that stuff. And this guy, Daszak, or Daz, I'm really screwing his name up. Daszak, I guess it is. Basically admitted that. He is the president of Echo Health Alliance, which received millions in U.S. grants, and it helped fund experiments on modified bat coronaviruses at Wuhan. So I think that's kind of scary. Meantime, I see that our buddy Hunter Biden is wandering into court this morning in Delaware, facing charges of making false statements in the purchase and possession of a firearm by a person who is an unlawful user or addicted to a controlled substance. Now, believe it or not, the charges carry a maximum sentence of 25 years in prison. I shouldn't be laughing. That's a lot of, and a fine of $250,000. You know, he's not going to get anything like that. He's not probably going to spend a moment in jail. That's what I'm thinking. Well, we'll see what happens. This is a trial beginning in nearly a year after they tried to engineer a plea deal. Do you remember that? And it fell through with the judge. The judge was very vigilant. It was a woman by the name of Mary Ellen Narica. She said, "What the heck are you trying to do here?" No, I won't accept that plea deal. He's trying to get off scot-free.
If he's convicted, his father could pardon him, couldn't he?
Well, you know, speaking of that, Biden has made a comment about
I love my son. I'm proud of my son.
Yeah.
Through his addiction and whatnot, blah, blah, blah,
He's,
doesn't mention anything about not paying child support for 14 years or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
He says, "I am the president, but I am also a dad. Jill and I love our son, and we're so proud of the man he is today." Really?
Even if
you're so proud of the man he is today?
Even if he left his cocaine in my Oval Office, I still love him, and you know.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think you should just not talk too much about Hunter. He loves to talk about Bo. I guess Bo was a good guy.
Yeah.
Unfortunate death due to a cancer.
Yeah.
But, you know what's interesting? Look at Donald Trump's kids.
Yeah.
They grew up kind of straight. And any of them ever get a drug charge? I don't think so. You know, and then you look at Hunter. So everybody's making fun of Donald Trump. For some reason, all of his family kids, all of his kids are pretty straight arrows.
Yeah.
Got to give him some credit. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Vance Ginn will join us, and we're going to talk about this, I would say, astounding and scary $34.6 trillion national debt.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
On a Monday. Thank you so very much for being with us. You know, the national debt, talk about the weather that everybody talks about, nothing is ever done about it. How about the national debt? $34.6 trillion. By comparison, just four decades ago, you know what the national debt was, Ed? Four decades ago, the national debt was about $907 billion. I know, yeah. Unbelievable. Latest findings indicate that the national debt will grow to about $54 trillion in the next 10 years. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. You know how much that must be per person in this country? I'm afraid to think about it, but it's millions of dollars.
It's not something you can sit down at the dinner table and go, honey, let's see if we saved $100 a month. How long would it take to... to knock them down, would it?
Well, we got a guy here that knows a little bit about economics. Vance Ginn, he is an economic consultant. He's a former associate director for economic policy at the Office of Management and the Budget. We've had him on before. Vance, welcome back. What are we going to do, Vance? Are we just, we being the country, just going to keep talking about this until one day the entire floor collapses and we fall through it?
I hope not. We need to do that well before then. And it's a pleasure with you this morning.
Sure.
When you look at that amount of debt, too, we're talking about over almost $35 trillion. That's over $100,000 per citizen, per American, over $260,000 that's owed per taxpayer.
Wow.
So this is a massive amount of money that's continuing to slow our economy, make us less prosperous, and hurting our future. So to your point, I think we've got to start doing something today. And too often people don't want to talk about Social Security and Medicare, but those are the two places I think you've really got to start if you're going to do something about the spending and the debt.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's the third rail. Even Republicans won't talk about cutting back on Social Security. I think you and I've talked about this, maybe not. But here's something that I've offered to our listeners from time to time. It's just a thought. And I am not an economist like you, so I want you to be cruel, as they say, be cruel. I'm going to give you my thought. Why not take everybody under a certain age, and let's just throw out the number 59 for whatever reason. If you're 59 and younger, you're going to get back every penny of money you put into Social Security, plus a little interest. And take everybody over that age and say to them, you're going to get your Social Security as promised. So that way, we can get off the government funding a Ponzi scheme. Do you think that would have any merit or any possibility?
I think it has a lot of merit, and I'm actually in favor of that as well. I think we need to go into that direction. Now, as far as possibility politically, I think it's an uphill battle. Like to your point earlier, I mean, Democrats, of course, don't want to do anything with it. They just want to raise taxes on the quote-unquote rich and think that will solve the problem. it won't solve the problem. It'll make the situation worse. And Republicans don't want to touch it because they feel like they're going to lose votes. And they probably
right.
will.
yeah.
But I think what we need here, to your point, is we've got to do something. You know, let's think back to where Social Security was actually put in place, which was during the Great Depression. 1935 is whenever it became enacted. For the first 2 years, nobody collected anything. They just paid into this trust fund. But that trust fund is now going broke. And it's a pay-as-you-grow system to where there's not an account for Vance or for Paul. there's just money that's paying into yeah. current retirees. And people don't understand the way that it's actually built. And it was also supposed to be supplemental income, not a retirement
right.
package. And that's what it's become over time.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised, but that's exactly right. I wonder if FDR, when he came up with this idea with his buddies, knew that
yeah.
this was what was going to happen eventually, that it would grow and grow and grow. And now, for so many people, it is their only source of retirement money. You know, they decided that they would wait and they would continue to just spend whatever money they had. Then they got to be 65 or whatever. And now they're living off of Social Security, and they're getting maybe a couple of $1,000s a month, if that much. And so, you know, first of all, first of all, why is the government even involved in it? It's not their purview. It's not their
right.
responsibility. It's not their calling, whatever. That should have always been kept in the private sector. But I want to also get back to the trust fund, and you brought that up.
Yep.
It's a very good point. There's no money in the trust fund. There's a huge IOU because they took all of that money, as you know. The government decided that the money that was coming in that was specifically to go into the trust fund to pay future Social Security payments, they immediately took that money and they started spending it on other government projects. That's the truth. So they've left an IOU in the trust fund. And that, the way we're going right now, unless we make a major change, you tell me this, that within yeah. the next 10 years or so, that we'll have no money to send out.
That's right. Yeah, and if you look at unfunded liabilities, which is just a way to say how much in benefits or taxes are going to be brought in over the next 50 years compared to how much is going to be paid out of Social Security, unfunded liabilities is $26 trillion with a T.
Oh, boy.
So it's massive. Medicare is also underwater.
Yeah.
It's running about $40 trillion in unfunded liabilities. So it's not just the $35 trillion that we're talking about on national debt. We've got some other major problems. And so when you think about the trust fund going bankrupt and basically not being insolvent, what's going to happen in about a decade, and this is from the Congressional Budget Office, so this isn't just Vance again, but the CBO, who's supposed to be nonpartisan, I have some issues with that, but in general it's supposed to be nonpartisan, they say by, 2033, that Social Security will be essentially bankrupt, and what that means is that it will only be able to pay out benefits of 75%. So in other words, retirees would see a 25% cut in their benefits if we don't do anything about it. So it's not only that we need to do something for the future of America because of this debt, but we also need to figure out a way for what's going to happen to these retirees that are dependent on the Social Security. It's going to be a major problem, which is why I think, to your point, we need to think about an age cutoff, whether it's 59 or 55, whatever it
yeah.
is, to stay below that. We need to have private accounts, or don't force people to pay into it. Here's the other thing, Paul, is, you know, we're paying in 6.2% of our payroll taxes, and then the employer pays 6.2%. So that's 12.4% of your taxes, your hard-earned money that goes to Social Security that you may not even get. So are we really getting a 12.4% value out of Social Security? I don't think we are. I'd rather that money be in people's pockets and not being forced to save.
Absolutely. We're talking with Vance Ginn. He is an economic consultant, formerly worked at the Office of Management and Budget, where he was an associate director for economic policy. We're talking about the $34.6 trillion federal debt. Biden keeps claiming, and I don't know why he has the nerve to say this, that somehow he was able to bring down, the annual
budget deficit, I guess it was, which was nonsense. He never brought anything down. He's been as bad, if not worse, than Trump. But Donald Trump is the same way. Donald Trump didn't look at any thought, really, of bringing down. I mean, everybody gives lip service to fighting the debt, the national debt, but that's it.
Yeah, and I should say, I mean, when I was there, which was June 2019 to May of 2020, I was in the White House in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, so I was in that complex at Office of Management and Budget, and the president's last budget, which I helped write, we found $4.6 trillion in savings, which is great. It's way better than what the Biden administration did, and we did that by reducing spending, slowing the growth rate of spending, things of that nature, but it still would have racked up another $8 trillion of debt over a decade because, you know, the language of D.C. is that you reduce, you find savings compared to what you otherwise would spend, not that the debt would actually have went down. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
but we were trying, but of course, COVID hit and everything else started happening. I don't even know that Congress probably wasn't going to pass that bill anyway, what the president put out, but we were trying to put things in the right direction. But at the same time, I say all that because I'm a fiscal hawk, Paul, so I was trying my hardest. But you're right, that President Trump is not. He was willing to spend as much as possible, and Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, would go with whatever Nancy Pelosi would want to do. And so there are some issues going into this presidential cycle, whether it's Biden or Trump. Who's going to have the cojones, if you will, to rein in this national debt and excessive spending? And we've got to start doing it now, or I already think we're in a fiscal crisis. Some say we're getting into it, but look at interest rates soaring. Look at housing prices soaring. Look, all the asset markets are going up tremendously. Those have all got to pop at some point, and that's going to hurt America. And what are we going to do in order to get, you know, to overcome those obstacles? We've got to cut government spending.
That's right. And our borrowing now is costing us more. The unrelenting increase has prompted Fitch Ratings last year to issue a surprise downgrade of our long-term credit. We had a pristine AAA rating. Now we're down to AA+. Now, you know, in comparison to the rest of the world, we're looking okay, but that doesn't mean that we don't have a disease like they have. We do.
Yeah.
We all have it. We're all sick. They might be sicker than we are, but we're sick too. And eventually, the illness could knock us out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. And one thing that's going to be interesting too next year, Paul, and we should keep having these conversations, is that the quote-unquote Trump tax cuts from 2017 are going to expire. All those individual marginal tax rates that were cut underneath the Trump tax cuts will go back up to where they were before. And Biden has said that he wants to, basically let them expire next year, the Trump tax cuts, which would mean tax hikes on everyone, including those under $400,000 that he has, you know, promised not to raise taxes on. But that would happen if that was the case. And they'll say that was the contribution to the national debt. But that's just not true, because what we've seen is that taxes have actually kept going up. Taxes are at record highs, even with the Trump tax cuts. It's because of excessive government spending. That is the disease. The symptoms are taxes and regulations and the debt. But we've got to get control of this disease, or we're going to continue to face major problems with our fiscal and economic health.
You know, another interesting little tidbit, if anybody really cares about it, when Donald Trump decided to lower taxes, which he did basically across the board, did you know that our government took in more money?
Yes.
They took in more money because we had more people that were making more money and therefore paying more in taxes. And that goes back to the Ronald Reagan philosophy, that the more you cut government spending, or I should say, the more you cut taxes on the American worker, the more money ultimately you're going to take in, and it's inevitably that happens. So
There was a slowdown, of course, like in tax revenue, but it didn't contract like many people had said. Some said that we were going to lose $2 trillion, that it was going to cost us $2 trillion in tax revenue, and that didn't materialize. That didn't happen. One thing that I think, you know, sometimes we have to be careful of, I'm not a supply-side economist. Some will just say that if you cut taxes, you'll get more in revenue, and then that'll pay down the debt. I really believe that if you're going to cut taxes, I do think that there are incentive effects and that there will be more revenue over time. But you've also got to cut spending.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're cutting taxes and getting into more money in people's pockets,
that's right.
You don't need to spend as much.
Oh, no question. Will you take a question from my colleague, Ed Davis?
Of course.
Vance, more of just a comment that under this administration, it's not only the spending, but it's the type of spending. And the fact that he wants to give billions and trillions of dollars away for student debt loans, yet we've got our strategic oil reserves have been depleted, and we can't afford to replenish them at this point. There's no money for it.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And you add into that how we're handing out money to all these businesses through the CHIPS Act and semiconductors and everything. And then you have the Inflation Reduction Act, which is a misnamed act, of course, because it increased inflation. But to all these green energy companies that are unreliable sources of energy. Nowadays we are spending $1 trillion on just net interest payments on the debt, which is more than we're spending at $860 billion on the national defense. And I'm a classical liberal, more libertarian overall, and so I want very limited government, but I think we can all decide that there's better ways to spend $1 trillion on net interest payments. Most of it should be going back to people in tax cuts. But this is a major problem. So you bring a great point. We've also got to be looking at how we're spending the $6.8 trillion of federal government spending every year.
Like I said, it's like sitting at the dinner table and figuring out your financing and saying, "Oh, we can afford to pay the dog's food, but we can't feed the kids."
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Vance, again, thank you so very much for coming on. Great to get your thoughts on this. Look forward to our next conversation.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Y'all have a great day.
Yeah, the same to you. Vance Ginn. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, will Donald Trump lose his right to vote in Florida now that he's technically a convicted felon? We are going to take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For years, we've been telling you that Andrew's Master Barbershop is the premier men's barbershop in Tampa Bay. Tops in great haircuts, tops in price. Well, now that it's summertime, Andrew and the gang have brand new hours. They're now open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. Again, that's Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6. So give them a try, men. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, guys. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Monday. Boy, there is a lot going on. We got Anthony Fauci. I see he's being, the Democrats seem to be rallying to Anthony Fauci's defense. They're slamming the Republicans, apparently, during the questioning here, for even talking to him and trying to connect him to the pandemic outbreak.
So it's strange. It's strange seeing him not around St. Patty's Day.
Wearing a green
America's
tie.
America's favorite leprechaun.
Yeah, know? There you go. Anthony Fauci. Yeah,
Fauci.
I don't think he's Irish.
Don't take that mask off.
No. And then we got Hunter Biden, and he'll be wandering in. They're going to do jury selection today on his, taking drugs and a gun at the same time trial. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. In the meantime,
Here's the question. Is Donald Trump going to lose his right to vote here in the Sunshine State? You know, he's a resident of Florida.
Well, now, wait a minute. I do remember, let me see, what show was that where they were saying, well, just because people are convicted felons doesn't mean that they can't vote.
Yeah.
You know, that was the time that they were bailing out the people that, remember, that owed money and couldn't vote? And what's-his-face from New York paid $100 billion and paid all their fines and go out and vote!
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So...
Yep. So here's the question. Is he going to have the right to vote here in Florida? Well, Governor DeSantis, Ron DeSantis is our governor, said that Trump has not lost his voting rights in Florida and will not lose them so long as he, Ron DeSantis, chairs the Florida Clemency Board. Well, so we're going to be okay.
It doesn't really matter because there's a new voter in Mar-a-Lago now anyway. Barron Trump is not old enough to vote.
Oh.
So, you know, Donald just said, Barron, vote for me.
There you go. I don't think there'll be much convincing. Hey, we got both of our Ceresi brothers with us. We've got our Eye in the Northern Sky, Angelo Ceresi, in Rochester, New York. And we've got our master barber, Andrew Ceresi, here in Tampa Bay. Guys, welcome to the show. Hey, I don't know what you want to talk about. You want to talk about Fauci? You want to talk about Hunter? You want to talk about DeSantis and Donald Trump with voting? What do you want to talk about, Angelo?
No, I'd say let's keep talking about President Trump, keep him in the forefront. I mean, Hunter Biden, they're gonna let him skate. You know, he's a Biden.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about Fauci. He makes me itch.
Dr. Fauci? Yeah. You get itchy with Fauci. That would be kind of a nice campaign. If he was running, get itchy with Fauci. No?
There's another guy that ruined this country, Fauci.
Well, I'm looking at him. He's talking right now before that that committee. He's giving his opening remarks, apparently, at this COVID hearing. Andrew, what do you have to say?
Well, Paul, you know, I listened to your guest. I was listening to the show. Now, I want to tell you how to solve the national debt.
Good.
Now, you guys were talking about this and that. Number one, let's talk about Medicaid, not Medicare. Mm-hmm. How many people are on Medicaid that don't pay a dime into anything? They get the free health care. They go to doctors all the time
right. They
want. What about the welfare role, Paul? How come they always talk about cutting Social Security? Why don't they cut welfare?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know how many people probably in this country are on welfare?
And it's growing.
No, you're right.
Okay. By 10 million.
You're right.
Millions. Why do they talk about Social Security and Medicare? I paid Social Security for 50 years of my life. My employer, I had to double my own being self-employed. I had to pay more of a tax, okay? I pay $170 a month for my Medicare. These people on Medicaid aren't paying nothing. Also, what about the mothers that get the big tax incentive? I know a girl that's got three kids from three different fathers, gets $9,000 back on her taxes every year and doesn't pay a dime.
My question is, what does she name the kids? Their last names are all going to be different?
A, B, and C.
Can you imagine Father's Day at that house? Every 15 minutes, a different father.
Okay, but here was my... did you hear my solution?
I heard your solution. I thought that was good.
I don't know if you might be young enough to have to pay back or get the check. I can't remember. But anyway, if you're at 59 or younger, you get back all your money and interest, okay? Now you're happy. You got all this money. Go put it in a retirement. If you're over,
right.
Yeah, if you're over that, don't worry about it. Forget about
right.
it. Forget about it. You're going to get your Social Security. Forget about it.
You're right. But like I said, let's get rid of this welfare. Give it to the real people that need it. These people that fake their disabilities and everything. I see them every day, Paul.
I know.
And it's sickening.
Of course.
It's totally sickening.
But, you know, we need all of that. I mean, it's not, if not, we're at 34, almost 35 trillion in debt, right? All right. So we have to take a look at all of that. I agree with you. I don't think the government should be involved, as you well know, in funding any of this. It's like my friend used to say, a doctor I once knew. He said, you know, we should have the same welfare system they have in Mexico. I said, oh, really? What's their system? He said, they don't have welfare.
That's right.
I said, okay, that's a pretty good system.
You know, but there are people out there that do near it, need it, seriously.
There are, but wait. I hear that. I respectfully disagree that the government should be the funder. We don't need the federal government sending out money to these people. It's wrong, and it's not their job. We've had, way before we had any of that, we had private organizations that were more than willing to help people and get them back on their feet, and they were people that did it as volunteers, the best kind of people, because they wanted to do it out of their own hearts. And they went in, and they would be in the Red Cross, or they'd be in the Salvation Army, or you name it, all the different organizations, or they would work at Catholic hospitals, private hospitals, doing things to help these people, and it worked. We didn't have, I mean, the war on poverty with the government, we got more people. We got a higher percentage now of people that are under the so-called poverty level than we did in 65 when Johnson came up with the war on poverty.
Well, the problem is it's too easy to get on it, and there's no effort to get off of it. The problem, years and years ago, you were kind of a little ashamed to be on it.
Yeah.
Because you had them food stamps.
You had a sense of respect for yourself.
You had the food stamps, and when you went through the line, you had to wait till the line cleared out.
And that was a good thing.
And then pull them out when nobody's looking, throw them.
Yeah, but it was a good thing that you felt embarrassed. It was a good thing.
To a point. Now it's just a credit card.
You had
now.
A certain sense of respect, and you wanted to be, you wanted to pull your weight. Go ahead, Andrew or Angela, whichever.
they want you to be on welfare because they buy your votes just like that.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But everything is geared towards keeping the Democrats in power. Everything. The welfare system. The college system that they want to pay their tuition, the whole nine yards. It's all geared to keeping the Democrats in power.
Yeah, well, it's been a long-term idea that socialism, where government becomes involved in funding your life, ultimately is the acid that deteriorates the free market, deteriorates our Constitution, and deteriorates the reason that we became a nation. We became a nation to be a free group of people. In other words, if you worked hard, you would do well, and the government would not get in your way.
What did Margaret Thatcher say about that? Once you run out of people's money?
Yeah, that's the worst thing about socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money.
Mm. Right, and that's what's happening.
Exactly, right. Exactly. You know? Now, Andrew and I went to Conservative Grounds.
Uh-oh.
On Saturday. We wanted to take you with us, Ed. We're going to bring you with us.
You know, I couldn't have had, I had a date.
I know, but we
could have brought her.
You could have gone. We went on Saturday morning at 10 a.m.
Ugh.
And the point being that there are people, and we were chatting with them, that are really upset about what's been, what's going on with, obviously, with the Donald Trump hush money verdict. Mm-hmm. And there were people out on the street waving the flags.
Really?
We had a very enjoyable time over there. But my question is, have we gone to the point now where even people that are conservatives and generally try to do everything within the rule book are going to break out and say, we've had enough. There's no question that the Democrats are trying to literally stomp down any chance of Donald Trump becoming the president.
They've already tipped their hand a long time ago.
Yeah. Right, Andrew?
Paul, you're right. They can try to stomp down Donald Trump, but let me tell you what. He raised $200 million now since his the guilty verdict.
It's the best thing. Okay? The best thing that's happened to his coffers was the conviction.
Okay, people are fed up. They're disgusted. I can't believe the comments people put on the computer. The American people are stupid. 50% of them are stupid, but I think that number is declining because even the stupid ones are starting to get a little smarter. You know why? Because it's hitting them in the pocket, Paul, where
That's
it
right.
hurts. Once the pocket starts getting empty and they get hungry, their attitude changes.
I can't, and I've always thought that you have to worry about the common sense of the electorate, quite frankly. Even Charles Dickens once said, the public is an idiot. That's what he said. That was way back in the early 1800s. And the public is an idiot to some extent, in the sense that they're uninformed. But now, we got, not only do everybody realize that their wallet is it's got more moths than it has currency in it, but they also realize we have somebody in the White House that can barely put two sentences together.
That guy couldn't say that today because somebody would write an email and he'd be out of a job.
Paul, didn't Didn't the, our founding fathers come up with the idea of having electors elect the president because they felt that the population really...
Yes. Well, that's why we have the Electoral College. That's why the system is that we actually are electing electors that would go to the conventions and you know, and would vote for their you know, they're the ones that actually elect the president. Every state, you know.
Right, and isn't the old saying that the more things change, the more they stay the same, the only thing that changes are the players?
Yeah.
You got the same population that you had back in the 1700s, 1776, 1780s, right? Electing the president, the same population that people just still disagree who should be president and everything else. Look what's going on today. Same thing, correct?
Yes, yes. I mean, we have more people, of course. And I think a good case can be made, even though I think that the public overall needs to be more informed. A good case could be made that we go totally to a popular vote. I find that, this gives, the Electoral College gives those states that are smaller an opportunity to have some say in who becomes president, not just California and New York.
They would control the election all the time. And that would be impossible. And look how far ahead the founding fathers thought about our country, how the elections had to be made and everything, and representation.
Yeah.
I mean, they were so far ahead of their time, this experiment of a democracy in the United States has been going on for well over 200 years. And sad to say, we got people right now that's never been done in the history of our country weaponizing the Department of Justice, going after a political opponent.
Right.
And yet, the American people, supposed to be educated, cannot see that? I mean...
I think most of them can. I think some of them put blinders on. That's what I think.
Well, 50% are saying of the population are saying that the conviction was correct.
Yes. Yes.
Now, if they're saying that it's correct, you could see what the trial judge was leading the jurors to decide. He was leading them towards a conviction.
Well, I don't think it had anything to do with 50%. He just he's a Democrat that's in the tank.
Well, like I said last week, I said he did everything but say, go back there, deliberate, and come back with a guilty verdict, please.
He made it so easy for them to convict.
Yeah.
Right.
Here, take your pick. We'll give you three different things you can find him guilty of, and you don't have to be unanimous. Just take your pick.
He changes the whole judicial system and how to convict.
That's why I think it's going to be overturned. That's why I think it's going to be overturned.
3 to 5 years.
It might.
It's going to take 3 to 5 years.
It might. It might.
To hear that case. In the meantime, Biden and his cohorts are going to keep saying that you're going to vote for a convicted felon?
Yes. I'm hoping. I'm hoping, and we've talked to you, all three of us, four of us have talked about this. I'm hoping that they fast track the appeal process.
They had better because this is total interference with an election.
That's right.
Total interference in this election for a president.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
Hey, speaking of presidents, real quick, did anybody see that? Anybody saw that Mexico has elected their first ever woman president?
Did they?
Yes.
Is she American educated?
America's response should be congratulations, Mexico. Now stay there.
stay there and support your female president.
Go home. Get a woman president. Go home.
Okay. Is she American educated?
Hold on, guys. Hold on. The question about is she American educated? The answer, I don't know. Does anybody know?
No.
No, you don't know, or no, she's not.
Wouldn't it be fun if she didn't speak Spanish?
Well, then she might be American educated. She speaks Russian. Yeah.
But did you guys see this morning or hear on the news that in Colombia, they have assassinated in the past year 37 of their political opponents they didn't want?
Oh, my goodness.
37. Well, that's going to start here. Why not?
Oh,
they're taking
God.
Them to court. They may as well start here.
I don't think we want that, Andrew.
Look what they're doing now.
I know, it's terrible.
Political assassination.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. Yeah.
But hey. And you know, when you said that the public were idiots, no, today we have educated idiots. that have been indoctrinated from the college. They're educated idiots.
That was what Dickens said. I'm saying they're uninformed. They're ignorant. Not an idiot, but ignorant. There is a difference.
Okay. Well, I'll use my term. I like it better.
All right. Hey, guys, got to run. It's a pleasure always to have you. Keep up the fight. We'll be talking again.
Be good.
All right. Going to take our break. And when we come back, the top 10 U.S. cities with the highest rate of deadly car crashes.
Hey, you. Oh, get into my car. Yes, you. Oh, get into my car.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
ArborLife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call ArborLife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
For years, we've been telling you that Andrew's Master Barbershop is the premier men's barbershop in Tampa Bay. Tops in great haircuts, tops in price. Well, now that it's summertime, Andrew and the gang have brand new hours. They're now open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. Again, that's Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6. So give them a try, men. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, guys. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Monday. We thank you so very much for being with us. We are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the wonderful Tan Talk Radio Network. Glad you can listen, but if you cannot listen those hours, thanks to Big Ed, just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button at the top. Ed has put all our shows on podcast. You can listen anytime you would like. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. Ed, before we go to our top 10, which is, I think, a very interesting one, any sports you want to chat about?
Well, the Rays are boring. They're down two, up one. There's the below 500, big deal. Nobody cares.
Okay.
This whole Caitlin Clark thing in the WNBA, which I would never even think of talking about until she came in there.
Yeah.
It's really getting nasty.
It is.
I mean, the veteran players really bouncing her around.
She got knocked to the ground.
And here's the thing that bothers me. Now, they have, like most sports, that you have to meet with the media after the game. If not, you're fined. Well, now they're calling it, well, it's a little bit of a racial thing. And here's the thing. One girl actually said, I ain't taking no Caitlin Clark questions.
Yeah. There's a lot of envy, or jealousy, I guess is the word. Jealousy in the end. I'm beginning to realize, in the WNBA for Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
She's a very good player, and let's face it, she's very popular. Everybody likes her.
What all she did other than throw three-pointers? Well, last time I checked, they're 3 points each.
Yeah,
you know, and she's racking up points. And it's not like she's doing what's his name? Oh, I can't remember his name.
LeBron James or something?
No, one of the football players that came out and really flopped.
Oh, the quarterback.
Yeah, what's his name from San Diego that really flopped.
Anyway, but so many. Yeah. I don't know which one.
But that just comes out and throws five interceptions in the game. And she's contributing. And she's carrying a really lousy team. But my point is that you don't come out and just say, I ain't taking no... Can you imagine a football player saying, I ain't taking no Tom Brady questions?
Yeah. Caitlin Clark, she was knocked over. It looked like a really cheap shot.
Yeah, it was.
And they find that they've now decided to, with a post decision,
yeah, they call it a major foul instead of a minor.
Okay. Well, anyway, you go, Caitlin. You go, girl. That's what I got to say. All right. It is time for our top 10, and you got to get over to the drums. And this is, I think, an interesting one. These are the top 10 U.S. cities that have the highest rate of deadly car crashes. This comes from Consumer Affairs. Car crash data from the National Highway Traffic Highway Traffic Safety Administration. These are the figures from 2022, which are the latest figures that have come out. So here we go. The top 10 cities with the deadliest car crashes. Number 10, St. Louis, Missouri. Don't go and drive in St. Louis. There are 24.78 fatal car crashes per 100,000 people there. Mm. All right. Number 9, Tucson, Arizona. That kind of surprised me. Tucson, Arizona has 25.25 fatal car crashes per 100,000 people. But you know what? It's not that large a city. The entire year, 2022, 138 people died in those car crashes. Mm. Number 8, Birmingham, Alabama. Wow. There are going to be a lot of southern cities on here. Birmingham has 25.46 deadly car crashes per 100,000 people. Total of 50 people overall killed in car crashes in 2022. Number 7, Jackson, Mississippi, another southern state, 26.02 fatal car crashes per 100,000 people. Number 6, Albany, Georgia. Ever drive through Albany, Georgia?
Drove through.
I have.
Didn't get in an accident.
No, I didn't either. But Albany does have some strange rules. Mm. Albany, Georgia, 27.97 fatal car crashes per 100,000 people. Number 5, Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, here in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, 28.94 fatal car crashes per 100,000 people. Total killed in 2022 was 53. Number 4, Macon, Georgia. These are all southern cities.
I wonder how
people
much
must drive crazier down south.
Or street racing, one of the other.
Yeah. Macon, Georgia, 29.45 fatal car crashes per 100,000 people. Number 3, Ocala, Florida.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's up north. 30.54 fatal car crashes.
These aren't big cities either.
No, they're not. No. These are smaller towns. They've used, smaller towns definitely are involved. Number 2, Daytona Beach, Florida.
There we go.
Maybe they're including any car crashes on the Daytona 500. 32.07.
Hey, they're not deadly.
No, most of them aren't. You're right. 32.07 fatal car crashes in Daytona Beach per 100,000 people. All right, Ed. It's a southern city, and I'll tell you what. It's larger than most of them, but it's not like the largest cities. You know what I mean?
Atlanta? I don't know.
Atlanta's a good guess, actually. It's not far away from it. It's Memphis, Tennessee. I used to live there. 33.33 fatal car crashes per 100,000. Listen to this. Their number of fatal car crashes is triple the nationwide rate. Triple in Memphis. Mm-hmm. The nationwide rate is 11.77 per 100,000. So there you go. Thank you so much for listening to us. We will be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. Jury selection going on today in the trial of President Biden's son, Hunter. The president said he won't comment on